This is episode 132 on September 9th, 2015.
Set your photo apps down, iPhone photographers. It's time for Tiny Shutter Podcast.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Tiny Shutter Podcast, where we talk about iPhone photography and the Apple announcement. What?
All in front of a campfire.
Yeah, this is our fireside chat. So we're doing a Tiny Shutter Podcast, but we have brought on Mark and Maud, and of course Matt's here. Greetings, guys. How's it going?
Hello.
Hello, hello.
Very good. So, hello.
It's a nice, gorgeous night.
That's right. On
the most hallowed day of the year, I think.
Yeah.
According to our podcast.
Well, you know, a portion of it, yes, but I know Mark had drooled over a few things that was announced. But yeah, we're doing a show a day early because the Apple announcement was today on Wednesday, September 9th.
Can I play the commercial real quick?
Yeah, go for it.
Here we go.
With the new iPhone, you can watch, listen, ignore your friends, stalk your ex, download porno on a crowded bus, even check your email while getting hit by a train. All with the new iPhone.
From Mom.
From Mom?
You know, that checking email while getting hit by a train is going to be a really handy feature.
That's not a bug, that's a feature. Yeah. That's kind of a day wrecker.
That was from the Futurama episode with Apps Attack. Dave in the chat room says, this is Tiny Shutter fully loaded.
Oh, yeah. So, okay. We decided a couple weeks ago that with the announcement, we would all get together and talk about the announcement. And, you know, the last couple weeks we kind of alluded to or mentioned some of the rumors. How many of you guys were totally blown away, totally shocked by what you heard?
I'm sorry. Who wants to go first? I just started to
go ahead.
You go first because we all know your opinion.
I actually, like, from a scale of 1 to 10, I would have to say this this announcement was 7.5. And the scales are really tipped because on the one hand, I had no idea that the iPad Pro would be announced until early in the week when I started to look at other sites and they said, hey, iPad Pro. I'm like, maybe, I guess. All right, we'll see. The iPhone itself, while impressive, had a big major downer for me, and we'll go into that later. But so I would say overall, like 7.9, 7.5. But individually, we could go into that stuff in a little bit.
What about you, Maud?
I'm going to probably be the naysayer of the group tonight, I feel. Because I did watch the keynote address, whatever you want to call it there. I didn't watch the full thing. I kind of sped up a few parts of here because I had to watch it, a two-hour thing, in about an hour and a half.
Right.
No, more like an hour and 15 minutes. So I kind of skipped a little bit here and there. But there were a few things that I thought were really cool. Like, oh, I'm interested in that. That's cool to know. There were a few things that made me want to throw my iPhone across the room. And there was, overall, the impression I got from watching it was just feeling as if I was drinking the Kool-Aid.
You know, it's so easy to get caught up in everything.
No, I'll go into more details later, too, but yeah. I'll just leave it at that. Go on to Matt.
All right, Matt, what was your overall impression?
I wasn't really surprised by anything that they announced. I mean, the iPad Pro, I guess, was a surprise. Not in the fact that it's something that they're going to come out with. I expected that they would do that eventually, but I just didn't think they'd announce it today.
Yeah.
And then, like, the only thing that they announced regarding the iPhone that I wasn't expecting is that live pictures thing.
Right.
The Harry Potter feature.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with Harry Potter, but sure.
That sums it up perfectly, though.
All right, so why can we start with some of the just the miscellaneous stuff? The Apple Watch, I think that thing is growing on like pretty well. Like the features with the, especially with the medical functions, is really really rad. That thing is still going to be slow to grow, but it's nice to see where that thing is going. I think that pretty much sums it up.
Yep.
Yeah, I would say so.
That was the segment I skipped through the most.
Right, rightfully so. It really has little to do with iPhone photography. Apple TV, that thing looks pretty cool. It's made to do more than they're announcing because they really want to do the...
it's thicker.
It's thicker. They want to do live TV and everything. But right. I think that has a lot of potential. And what I was thinking more to relate it to the show is... someday I would love to make an app for our Tiny Shutter TV and be able to have an app that's dedicated to our shows and our audio podcasts. Nice. I think that's as far as we can tie into that.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah, the Apple TV, I haven't gotten a chance to watch that part of the thing yet. I do like the fact that it's thicker because it'll help hold my entertainment center down a little better.
Yes.
No, I just from what I was able to read about it today, it does seem like it's going to be pretty awesome, and I definitely have plans to get one.
I think every gaming console has taken the proverbial dump, and you know, now that it can do gaming, I think they're a little bit more skittish.
No, any hardcore gamer will tell you, while gaming on something like an iPhone or on Apple TV is going to be cool, and there are going to be some interesting kind of games you can do, there are a whole lot of games you can't do without a full controller. Well, though, I suppose they'll probably have some type of accessory that gives you a full controller. And
that
then
thing,
really
that remote
is.
Control is a full controller.
No, it's not. It's a neat controller, and as far as controllers go versus things like a Roku controller or something, yeah, I love the fact that it's got the little touch thing. That's cool. The built-in Siri voice search, that's cool, but then again, that exists on several of the other competitors as well.
Right on, but let's save it for the Tiny right, Gamer podcast. Actually, you know what? That's not a bad idea. I better write that down.
Yeah, get the domain before somebody steals it.
Yeah. So that leaves us with the iPad Pro and the iPhone. Which one do we want to start with?
Let's do the iPad first because, you know, we're somebody will say, well, I thought this was about, you know, iPhone photography. But, you know, the iPad has, you know, great significance to iPhone photography. So let's do it first, and then we'll leave the meat of the iPhone towards the end.
All right. So let me just go over real quick what the features are. It's a larger display. It's a 12.9-inch display, 5.6 million pixels, and Apple is claiming that this is the best display that they've ever made to date. It could handle
even the
4K the 5K displays on the iMac.
What?
This thing can handle 4K video. You can watch in 4K or 5K. I don't know which one is which, but it's ridiculously detailed and awesome. And what is it called? They're claiming it's also desktop class performance, where you can edit like three simultaneous streams of 4K video using iMovie or whatever they have for their you know, listening pleasure or watching pleasure. This thing is ridiculously powerful.
The iPad Pro is one of the things I was most impressed with.
Yeah.
Although I wonder if a little bit of that is because I'm least familiar with what the capabilities of the previous iPads were.
Yeah.
But seeing the specs that they let out, I was impressed with it. I thought it looked pretty cool.
Here's two things that kind of shocked me when I was watching this. And it didn't really have much to do with the iPad as a device, but when they brought on Microsoft and Adobe, I was like, what? You know, it's just because, you know, the history of Apple and Adobe, the history of Apple and Microsoft, and now they're, you know, they're bringing them in on the keynotes to, you know, to show what these devices can do is, I think, smart, because you want people to want to use Microsoft and Adobe on the iPad, or else, you know, if you keep them away, they're going to go to other devices to do it.
Well, when you want to talk about iPad Pro, you want the professional people to come in. But Matt, what do you think about the iPad Pro overall? Let's just start with that. Let's just finish with that with you.
Overall, it's pretty awesome looking. I got really excited about it, but I got excited about it for editing reasons until I thought it through, though.
Uh-huh. All right, go on. Because I was drooling over the editing capability as well. So what was your red flag?
Okay, so immediately where I started thinking about this was, I still like the idea of editing on an iPad, and then having the pressure sensitive Apple Pencil really kind of sold it for me.
Yeah,
I'm like, that's just cool, because I could just see that working with like tons of apps besides the Adobe stuff.
Yep.
You know, and it would really take editing to just a whole nother level for me. It'd be kind of like getting a Wacom tablet, you know what I mean? And I've always been intrigued by them, but just never really wanted to plunk down that, you know, the cash on one.
Like the $1,000, yeah.
Yeah, and so I need a new computer anyway, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I immediately started thinking, well, geez, instead of getting a new desktop or a new laptop, maybe I'd be able to get by on one of these.
Mm-hmm.
But then I thought, I shoot RAW most of the time. So as of right now, I don't know anything about the ability to edit RAW on the iPad Pro. That's probably a no-go at the moment. And then how do I get my photos on it? That's the other thing.
Yeah.
You know, there's no, you know, there's no SD card reader, and there's probably no card readers that plug into the Lightning port or anything like that. So those right away were kind of like, huh, well, shoot, what do I do?
You could get an accessory that will be able to do SD card readers to plug in.
Definitely for the iPad, not for the iPhone, but yeah.
No, for both.
Yeah. Really? Well, we're talking.
You do one, you can do the other. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we're talking about the iPad right now, and that's what my focus is for this part of the conversation.
Well, then you also have Creative Cloud. I thought that Lightroom was supposed to start working with the iPad.
Yes, and the.
Well, that's also part of my thinking here too. Is Joe, I in one of the last couple episodes, we had a conversation that kind of touched on this. I don't remember what we were talking about, but you know, whenever I do upgrade my computer, I'm not going to have Apple's Aperture anymore, which is the RAW editor that I prefer to use at the moment.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a handful of different choices out there that I could switch to, but really all signs kind of point to Adobe and Adobe's Lightroom and getting wrapped up in the Creative Cloud. And from what I'm hearing, their like mobile app is getting better.
Yes.
And so I'm like, well, I do like that idea. I like the idea of not just photos I take with my iPhone, but photos that I take with my Sony camera being in the cloud. I could call them up on my iPad and edit them right on the iPad and then do whatever I want to do. I could post them to, you know, Instagram to Flickr to Facebook to what, you know, wherever I want to do that. I like that. Like, that's very appealing to me.
Yeah.
The chat room, Dave says that, you know, Dropbox is another way of, you know, uploading photos onto your computer and then being able to bring them down to the iPad too. There's a lot of different options, but
here's the thing. If this is your computer, then you're significantly making that process harder.
Yeah.
Cause then I would be like massively reliant on like just an absolutely insane amount of cloud storage.
Yeah.
And then I would also have to, figure
Apple
out.
Apple doesn't care.
No, they don't.
They don't, but they did reduce the price. So they care.
Yeah.
A little bit.
They care a little bit.
Yeah. The other thing, I guess, too, is like how do I need to have this stuff like physically backed up too, not just in the cloud, but you know, on an actual physical hard drive. And how do I accomplish that?
Exactly. And there's my issue as well. When I looked at this, I'm like, could I use this to edit weddings? Like, dump these onto my Mac and then kind of sync it with the Creative Cloud through Adobe, and then use Lightroom to do all the editing via the cloud, and, you know, just kind of chill on the couch and just do some editing here and there. And personally, I don't think that Lightroom is up to par to handle that kind of load just yet. If last time I used it, it has a lot of editing features, but it didn't have everything that I use. It's still kind of underpowered. That might change now that this is out. And from what I understand, they're still, you know, making upgrades to Lightroom. And I don't know. It all looks awesome. But Maude, when they revealed Photoshop Fix, didn't you have the red flag that went up when they adjusted that smile saying, oh, it has facial recognition. This is something that's done that even our big software doesn't have. And they were just able to tweak it here and there. I'm like, no, I can't.
I had a lot of red flags that went up throughout the whole thing.
Remember when
I did not see that part. I skipped and I missed the first little bit of the iPad skipping from watch. And I think I missed the whole part about both Microsoft and Adobe, apparently. I saw the whole stylus thing, the pen thing, the Apple Pencil. But I think I missed the thing with Adobe and Microsoft being on the iPad.
Well, a little backstory. What was it? I can't remember which version of Photoshop it was, but when they introduced the healing brush, where it was like the content aware.
Content aware. I thought that's where you were going when you started to say that. Did you have a red flag? And the way you worded it, it sounds like, oh, you're referring to content aware fill, aren't you?
Well, there, but also content aware fill, there was smart selections where you have a person in the photo and you all they did in their tutorials was click one click, the whole person was selected. And then there was puppet warp, where they made it look ridiculously easy. And it was like,
you know, there's a whole bunch of intermittent steps that are not being shown in their quick little, this is the demo, this is how it works. Yeah, but how many steps did you not show?
Exactly. And so when we were looking at the demos before it was released, we're like, this is too good to be true. That content aware thing, that's going to mess up, right?
But here's the difference.
And it
here's
did,
the
by
difference.
The way.
Yeah. Here's the difference between the Adobe presentation and the Apple presentation. They actually have the guy at the Apple presentation sitting there with a camera on him doing it. So
that is a good point.
It's not quite as veiled as, say, the Adobe content aware fill.
Don't care. Red flag.
Yeah, it is still a red flag. I want to mention real quick a little anecdote. While I was watching the keynote, we had I started watching it when we started getting a huge downpour at work. So I couldn't do anything. So I was like, oh yeah, it's on. So I pull it on and it was on the iPad, and I'm sitting there watching it going, oh, I know Mark's going to be like drooling over this. And I almost mentioned it to my coworker who was sitting right next to me. But all of a sudden while I'm watching it, I get the text notification and it,
yeah, shut up and take my money.
Yeah. Shut up and take my money. And he laughed. Because I said, yep, I knew he was going to do that.
Oh, man. I actually got the soundbite for that.
Shut up and take my money.
Nice.
On the surface, this thing looks really exciting, but I'm putting asterisks next to everything because...
Well, can I come back and address just one of the points that Matt had made? Software issues aside of switching from whatever current versions of software you're using to what's available on the iPad, one of your main complaints was everything's backed up in the cloud and, you know, I want to get a physical hard copy of it, or digital hard copy of it. But there are adapters you can get to plug in a USB drive to your iPad. So they're like $20, $20 to $30. So you could easily buy one of those, plug in a big, huge USB drive and back stuff up to there.
Okay. Yeah, I mean,
just to throw it out there as a,
but I think it's only one way.
Reason to give up on it. What's that?
I think it's only one way. I think you could bring things in, but you can't export.
Well, that would just be dumb.
Yeah, that would be kind of ridiculous.
Dave in the chat room says, on the surface, it's kind of like the surface.
Oh.
Oh.
But not really.
That was the red flag that went up for me. When they're going along about the iPad, I was thinking, yeah, that's kind of neat. Wow, that looks pretty cool. This is looking pretty powerful. Bigger screen. Oh, I love it. And then they got to the, oh, and sometimes you don't want to use the on-screen keyboard. So we've developed this super cool keyboard, and we've made specially woven this material for it. And these, let's look across section of the keys. And I was like, yeah, just shut up and tell me what it is. The thing that jumped out at me when they said, oh, here's the keyboard, that a new accessory that goes with it. Here's the pencil, the stylus that goes with it. And the first thought that hit my mind, I was like, Surface comes with the stylus. There's already a keyboard attachment for the Surface. Are you trying to be a Surface? Surface Pro? What's going on here?
But no, you can't compare the iPad to the Surface Pro because the Surface on, is like a...
Hang on, let me finish.
Okay. Yeah, is the Surface is like a desktop top computer where the iPad is still confined to the apps. It's not.
That is a good point. Surface is a dual wielding OS. It can do right. Both desktop and apps. It's. But that is true of all Windows things now. The new Windows phones. That's just the Windows OS is where when they first came out, I thought it was a dumb idea, but I think they did. Take a little bit of a leap in advancement there, saying, yeah, but by the time the next one comes out, we've got this OS that everybody will be accustomed to that is both for tablets, right. Tablets, mobiles, and PCs.
And they were wrong on so many levels, too.
Yeah.
Because they ate a lot of crow by doing that.
Yeah. Well, they did, but by the time Windows 10, or this isn't the Windows title, so I'll drop that whole topic. But I think in the long run, they made the right choice. In the short term, they hurt themselves.
They're still adjusting.
Well, I'm sitting here using the 7-inch tablet and using it just like a desktop, and I'm actually recording. No, I'm not recording, but I'm on the show doing it, you know, like I would my 17-inch laptop.
And we still love you, Joe. It's okay.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
So, but do you think you could not do that with an iPad?
No, I don't think so.
It's got a Skype app, right?
It does, but I have my microphone hooked straight up to this tablet.
That's a good point. Well, you could put a hot microphone into your, well, you must have something bigger than like the headphone jack.
I'm using a USB connector.
I think we could agree that there's similarities and there's differences.
There is.
Absolutely. Don't shoot it down. If you had that first thought of maybe the iPad is the thing to go and replace my computer with, don't drop it immediately. Do a little bit of investigation. See, is it at all possible. Because there may be a lot of the objections may be things, well, yeah, but get this little adapter to do this little thing, and you can, if not quite the same, you can get close enough that it might still be worthwhile.
Can I mention the final red flag?
Sure.
The price.
That's it? You've only got one more?
Oh.
It is, for a 32 gig base model, it is $799, and then for 128 gigs, it's $949. If you want Wi-Fi and cellular, it's going to be only 128 gigs, and that's going for $1,079.
I was hoping that they would have said, and it has 1 terabyte of memory.
I knew the terabyte thing was going to come into play, but what they just did was they iPhoned this whole thing. This is their equivalent to 16 gigs and 64 gigs. I can't understand why. Like, why? I don't know. It's
because people still buy it. Why would they put more memory in it for the base model when people are still buying them?
And they have the cloud.
And it drives revenue towards their clouds. Even with cut prices and stuff, the lower memory drives revenues towards their monthly subscription thing.
I don't know. 32 gigs, while it's not, I really thought it was going to be 16 gigs. So when I heard 32 gigs, I was slightly happy. But I don't know.
I don't know. I think literally someone would have drug them into the street and shot them if they had announced a 16 gigabyte iPad Pro.
Well, okay.
Because there's nothing pro about 16 gigabytes.
There isn't. I wholeheartedly agree with you, which brings us, I think we could leave the iPad news. Yes. I think we can all agree that we're excited to see it, and come November, yes, I think we're all going to run into an Apple store to give it a test run, because, you know, I won't buy this. I don't think any of us are going to buy this without trying it first. Well, let's go into iPhone. So
you've already hit the biggest red flag. Not even a red flag, just the biggest. I wanted to drag somebody into the street and shoot them.
Well, before we get into the ultimate red flag, let's just go over some of the new features. It has aesthetically, it's a new rose gold color. It has a new function called 3D touch, which is like a force touch. It's kind of acting like a right click for added functionality.
And 12 megapixel camera.
The newest features that relates to Tiny Shutter is the 12 megapixel EyeSight camera.
Don't forget.
Deep trench isolation to reduce noise and improve color. And essentially what they did was isolate every pixel so that it's not... I keep hearing some weird background noises. Is somebody choking?
I think there's a fire going on someplace.
Well, no, we got the fire and the crickets going on. But I could have sworn like a cat is vomiting something in the background.
Now, the... They mentioned...
Well, you're changing the subject very quickly, so I think it's happening from your end.
Well, I do have two cats, but I don't think either of them were choking up. No, but they mentioned we upped the resolution to 12 megapixels, but we didn't want to do that unless we could maintain image quality.
Yes.
I mean, when he went in to talk about, here are the different ways that you can maintain image quality, but what he did not mention was... Were they able to maintain image quality 100%, or did the quality go down a little bit for certain aspects by upping the megapixels?
Yeah, they're going to announce that some parts of this is shitty. No, they said that it's improved all across the board. Dave in the chat room asks, is the sensor size the same with the more megapixels? Yes, the sensor size is the same, but they've added the improved... details to the sensor that it makes it even less noise, faster autofocus, and richer colors, improved colors.
Well, the impression I got, and feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, because I may well be, the impression I got was that we did all these technologies to try to improve noise issues, but by upping the megapixels, at best we maintain the current level of noise issues, because yeah, we reduced it a little bit, and so if we'd stayed at the same megapixels, everything would have been better. But no, we upped the megapixels, packed more things into the same size, so we increased noise, but at the same time did these other technologies to reduce it, so we probably end up somewhere about the same.
But that, oh, wow, you that really leads... saw a different presentation than we did.
I did. I swear to God, I was drinking the Kool-Aid right from the first few minutes. I'm sorry.
But he's leading right into the next point.
Go for it, Joe.
Which is 4K video.
I was unexpecting that. I did not expect that.
Yeah, and you know, as much as I would love to say that our 8 megapixel sensors can do 4K, just so that I could get a rise out of Mark, you couldn't do the 4K without the 12 megapixel camera. Yeah. So I think it was the photography part is gleaming from what they wanted to do with the video, and so they needed to have a larger megapixel.
All right, so they showed great stuff with the 4K video, like the capabilities, which is awesome. The 12 megapixel camera, from what they showed, absolutely incredible, and with the larger megapixel count, the panoramics looked massively, just overwhelmingly beautiful. And I still say that the iPhone is probably the best panoramic camera out there, and that's comparing it to the professional DSLRs. The way you stitch the photos is,
it does a really good job.
Oh my God, it's practically seamless. Like, you have, like, none of my cameras can even compare.
The iPhone is the best. Your cameras don't stitch it, right? You're using a third app to stitch from your DSLR.
My DSLRs have to be stitched in post-processing. My Fuji cameras.
So you're kind of comparing apples to... Do those do them in camera?
Yes, and they absolutely blow chunks. Oh. And the iPhone, I will use the iPhone during a wedding just to take a panoramic, because it does not suffer any, like the difference between that and my Fuji's is negligible. It's just that good. So that being said, more megapixels, 4K video, and the Harry Potter feature, the live photo.
I'm curious about.
So basically what happens when you're taking a photo, this is turned on by default. So when you're taking a photo, it captures the motion before and after the shutter is pressed. So I guess there's some algorithm that's recording, and it'll take X amount of time before and after.
So I think it's their anti-blur solution or something. I think they don't trust us to be able to capture the moment.
Well, no, it's essentially adding a little bit more flavor to the moment.
Right.
Because what it is
1.5 seconds before and after, if I recall correct. But what makes me wonder is if you pull up your camera and take a really quick shot, like there's some action-y type of, I know they can only take it so fast, but if you're pulling it up and taking a shot like pretty quickly, that 1.5 seconds prior to you taking the shot may be like pretty moving bad. You may not want that. You may have just ruined that whole photo. Well, I guess it doesn't ruin the photo aspect of it.
It's so. What do you guys think of the live photo, Matt? What do you think? Because you are in a position where you're in nature a lot. You're taking really awesome landscapes, and then you also have a family that you photograph. So what do you say first?
Well, I'm not going to poo-poo on it just yet, because it is something that's like kind of, it's the way they described it, it's something new, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the way I see it is, I see it one of two ways. Okay, it's a GIF or okay. It's just a very short video clip. And neither of those things interest me, really.
And both of those things take up a lot of space.
Yeah, and they did touch on, they touched on that and said they have some way of saving this that it doesn't take up much more room than just a single photo would.
Yeah.
I personally do not see myself using this feature. And to touch on something that Joe kind of alluded to a moment ago, he said, you know, I don't think they trust us to capture the moment. Well, the way I see this, you still have to capture the moment. It's not like, okay, now I've got 3 seconds to work with and I'm going to pick the part of it that I want to be the actual photo. That's not how it's going to work.
Yeah.
The photo is the photo and that's it. You know what I mean? So you're not going to be able to like go in and like pick a frame because there's not really, I don't really know how to describe this, but I don't think there's actually going to be multiple frames to pick from.
Yeah. I think it's more of a presentation thing.
Yes.
Because people would say, oh, look, this is the photo I took, and look, it just, there's a little movement before and after, you know, type thing.
Yeah, I would be more inclined to create cinemagraphs than I would be to use this feature.
Yeah.
And a cinemagraph, for anyone that doesn't know, is basically just where you have a photo, and it's a still photo, but there's one aspect or one subject in the photo that's moving. So the closest thing that comes to that, like they showed in the examples, would be where they showed the picture of the city.
Yep.
Like kind of looking down at the city street, and you had all those buildings that were perfectly still in the photo, and only the cars on the street were moving. That's those, very those similar.
Those were the screensavers for Apple TV.
No, they also had samples of the cityscape.
Well, I'm gonna say this: when I saw that, the first thing that popped into my mind was, "Oh, they stuck it on a tripod." Because if they're gonna do a second before and a second after, people are moving, and the images, unless they're using an image stabilization. I think that most of those are probably done on a tripod.
It's going to be one of them things where there's going to be like ones that are kind of creative and they're cool. And as we start to see like more of these things, like I liked the city one. It wasn't particularly creative, but I liked it. And I also liked the one they showed with the mountain reflected in the lake and you had the ripples of water that moved.
Yeah.
I did not like the one that was the dude standing in front of the waterfall. I would have liked it better if he was just still and the waterfall was moving.
Yes. Yes.
That would have made it like 10 times more cool, but because he was jumping around or whatever he was doing, it just made it look like a short video clip.
Yep.
It didn't look like anything special at all.
Now, what I wonder is, they didn't really address it, they kind of alluded to the fact that it may be a special file type. Like they said, it's going to be just a JPEG, but they also said we're working with different app developers to make sure that they can incorporate this live view thing into it, which means it's not necessarily just a JPEG. So if you take a photo, live photo, is it something that you can just export and then pull into some external program that knows how to deal with just a normal JPEG? That's one of my concerns, one of my questions.
Well, they're already working with Facebook on this, so you're going to have Facebook and Instagram that will be able to support this, and really, what else do you need?
To capture this function, that is, you nailed it, actually. All right, so the other feature that they had was the 5-megapixel front-facing camera with Retina flash.
Finally.
The all important.
That wasn't even sarcasm. I'm being dead serious. Finally.
Yeah.
About the 5 megapixels, or about the flash, or about both?
A little bit of clay, a little bit of comfy.
I think the Retina flash is a bonus, but the five megapixels, finally.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, a little off topic. One of the things that we're getting to review is a front-facing LED flash that's also part of the case for...
Back-facing.
No, the front-facing. No. I do have a... Oh, God, the stupid names. The EyeSight camera LED, but we're also getting another one to review.
Oh, okay, cool.
Called the Lumi, and it's for enhancing your selfies. And I am so looking forward to getting this. Because it looks pretty badass. So that's coming in the future in, like, the coming weeks. Right now, I have the... I mean, there's so much going to happen on Tiny Shutter TV that it's going to be pretty bad. Bad in the good way. I just dated myself there. So anyway,
radical.
Yeah, radical. Cowabunga. So yeah, I dig the 5-megapixel front facing camera because now I can actually do goofy photos with my son and daughter.
Finally.
Like I couldn't before because I was afraid. I was shunned. Well, I still am because I'm an ugly man. But you know.
Well, I think the deep trench isolation on the sensor will help improve your looks a little bit.
Yeah. And let's see what I could do with that new Photoshop fix. I may need to incorporate Photoshop Sketch too.
So what did you guys think of the 3D touch?
I'm a little dubious. And again, as I said up front, I'm kind of the naysayer of the group tonight, I believe.
Yeah, apparently.
I know. I'm sorry. I meant to preface that announcement with that I do like Apple products, and I am generally like, I do like all the announcements they made. Everything seemed pretty cool, but I just had this bad vibe when I was watching it for some reason. But for me, the 3D touch just kept looking like a, in the things that they were primarily showing it in, until they got to the video game. And all the stuff that they primarily showed it in, it was like, well, did you need a forced feedback in that? Or could you just do it with a pause for a second? Or pause for a half second? Pause for a second and a half to do the same type of... Like, that seemed more of a just OS tweaking to just normal touch. You could have done the same thing without necessarily needing to push harder. That was the impression I got. I'm sorry.
I don't know.
I'm starting to think you're just lazy.
Negative Nancy makes a few good points, but I don't know. This is one of those things where I need to try it.
Need to try it, absolutely.
Because I was kind of like, meh, when they had the force feedback with the trackpads. But once I actually used it, I'm like, oh my God, this is cool. And I think that's how it'll be with this.
Yeah, so I like the features that they showed off with it. I see myself using it exactly the way they showed it.
Yes.
But I do wish that somehow they would have incorporated a photo editing thing. Like that's what I really want out of this force touch stuff. No, but they didn't show, like, I'm not saying it's not going to come. I'm sure it will. I'm sure the app, like, photo editing apps will be able to take advantage of it and, you know, we'll be able to, you know, use it in a way of, like they showed with the iPad Pro with the brush strokes, you know, with a thicker and thinner and lighter and harder and all that stuff. I just wish they'd kind of showed that off because that's what I really want to use Force Touch for.
Yeah.
The stuff that they showed, that's great and it's cool and I know I'll use those features. I thought it was really neat, but man, I really want this for photo editing.
Yeah, Joe in the chat room actually is the same. It looks like it feels the same way. Is this going to be Cintiq-like?
Dave in the chat room.
No, Joe.
Oh,
mentioned.
Joe's in there?
Not you, Joe. The other Joe. Yeah.
Joe Hutzel.
Who's on first? So, yeah, I mean, it looks promising, especially it's essentially making a pretty creative right-click feature, but not being a right-click.
Yeah, I mean, that's essentially what it is. But I just think it is going to make certain things that you do on the phone just like 10 times more convenient.
Yeah.
So, and like anything else, it's going to be one of those things that, like, at first it might seem weird, but then after like a month or so, you'll be totally used to it.
Yes.
So, can I just say one more thing about the iPhone announcement in general?
Sure.
Does Tim Cook have to say, "This is our most advanced iPhone ever"? Because if you go on stage and you announce a brand new product that is not more advanced than everything else that you've released in the past, I will break your kneecaps.
I can just picture it now. He walks up and says, "Well, it's advanced. Not quite as advanced as the last one, but I think you're going to love it."
Dumb bastards.
It's, oh my goodness. I just don't know why they have to say that. Of course it's the most advanced. That's why you're having this frickin' event.
But it's not even just the most advanced. They have to say it about every single little aspect of it. This is a faster processor. It's this much faster. It's this much faster makes sense. Okay, I'll give you that. But it's, yes, no, that was, again, one of my little...
Mark, did we have this conversation earlier today?
We've had this conversation every year.
Yeah.
I want to know just a point about the keynote in general. What's up with them all wearing jeans and a different color shirt? Like, that, this seems like... that.
What, do you want one of them to come out in a dress?
I was expecting... No, I would have... find it kind of humorous, actually, but no, it just seemed to me like they were trying to grasp at a certain, and I don't think I actually ever watched one that had Steve Jobs in it, but to me it felt a little bit like they were trying to be Steve Jobs, like we have to carry on not just his traditions and stuff, but we have to carry on him a little bit, like it, like you can have your own person. I honestly expected to watch it and see them at least some of them walk out in more suity type dress attire.
I saw, first of all, you're not hip like Apple. All right, Apple doesn't have suits.
That's the vibe I was getting. They were like hipsters. I'm sorry.
And Dave in the chat room says, where are the women at? There was one.
There was a couple of them. They were always doing demos over on the side. And I think they were all wearing jeans, too.
All right. Tangent. The girl who was doing the Apple TV presentation, didn't she look like that engineer girl from Firefly?
Yes.
Vaguely. A little bit less bad of a face, but yes.
She was hot. That's all I'm saying.
You well, could have said that, you know.
Now I saw a live blogger. Yeah. I saw a live blogger say, "Oh, look. Tim Cook tucked in his shirt."
What?
I know.
I don't know which presentation there was, but there was, I remember one keynote where, I forget who it was that came out, but his shirt was untucked, but you can tell it was previously tucked in because it was wrinkled at a certain belt line. And you know that he was saying, "No, take that out. Too late. Go out. No one will notice." Everyone noticed. No, that's their way of looking hip, and I prefer that than people coming out in suits. Because if I have to watch like an Apple presentation, like freaking HTC or freaking Samsung or something like that, you know, I'm assuming there was, I can't remember which one that came out in suits. Oh,
sorry to interrupt, but your mention of Samsung there just popped in my head. I love their, and I thought it was just humorous, their little moment there of, "Oh, you know, people are switching from Samsung to Apple, so we've decided to help them with that. We've got this new app that you can install on Android to help transfer stuff to Apple."
They didn't say Samsung.
They said Android. They said Android. Isn't it good that Android is an open enough platform that will allow it?
I thought that was great. It's the neighborly thing to do, right?
Yeah, that's right. It won't go vice versa. let me tell you that.
Well, they have the same sort of utility on their computers.
Yeah.
If you're switching from a PC to a Mac, so to me it makes sense.
Oh, it does. I have nothing wrong. I thought it was funny.
Guys, I really am enjoying this fireside chat.
Can we toast some marshmallows when we're done?
Here, have a bag. Here. I can't wrinkle the bag at the moment. It's non-wrinkled.
Oh, it's the marshmallows in the burlap sack.
They're apple. they're apple marshmallows. I mellows.
Oh, those are the ones that toast perfectly,
and are made of aluminium.
They're 2 times lighter with 2 times less sugar, but 2 times more flavor.
Yes,
and they're 2 times bigger.
Hey, actually,
at twice the cost.
But they only come 16 to a bag. Have you ever seen the have you ever seen the giant marshmallows? You can actually buy bags with giant marshmallows.
I can't believe they have only 16 pieces in a bag, and then he jumps to 64 pieces.
In this day and age.
Like, what's up with that?
With deep French sugar.
Oh, dumb awesome. Bastards.
So that leads us right into the most disappointing thing about the iPhone 6S. They're still starting at 16 gigs.
Yep.
Yeah.
We covered this already.
We
did. Yeah, it was important enough to come back to and cover again. Sorry.
They did lower the pricing for their iCloud storage, which is the 5 gigs is still free. 50 gigs is now 99 cents, and 1 terabyte is $10, $9.99, which brings it in line with, like, the market. I think Dropbox, 1 terabyte is $9.99 as well. Yeah, that's okay, I guess, but... Like 16 gigs, when you're dealing with 4K video, and now you're talking about like storing Harry Potter type photos, that's just going to add up.
And with all the extra horsepower and graphics capabilities of the phones, you know, games and stuff are going to be trying to use all these extra capabilities, so the games will be taking up more and more space.
Well, it depends on the game, but like, I don't know. I just think that's the part that's still the biggest slap in the face is the 16 gig model. Like, why? Just why? 32 isn't that much higher. It's negligible. They ordered like a bazillion of them. I just don't get it. I mean, I understand that, we'll make more money in the profit margins, blah, blah, blah. It's, just shut up and just give me 32 to start with. That's it.
$100 off the iPhone 6, though.
Because, yes, there's that. But here's the biggest problem. I wouldn't be complaining about the storage capacity if it wasn't for one thing. It's the fact that they don't know how to stream their own crap. Like, if I wanted to bring in a movie, which, you know, if I want to watch an HD movie, that's like a couple gigs right there, depending on the movie.
You have to download the whole thing.
It doesn't even get off your phone. It's trapped in that stupid other folder. And, you know, you have to basically nuke your phone from orbit just to clean it all out and make
it's
it.
It's the only way to be sure.
It's the only way to be sure.
Only way.
Oh, did we get a new album?
No, we didn't.
I still can't get rid of mine, the one from last year.
It's just, I that's the part that just bugs the crap out of me.
Was there anything about the iPhone 6S being, and I think the only thing I noticed, I just want to see if anybody else noticed the same thing, not bending?
We'll see. Come 2 weeks from now, we'll have people with YouTube videos trying to bend their new 6S.
I think they addressed it without addressing it. Like, I think they said, they did say, hey, you know, we're using this new, stronger aluminum, 7,000 grade, whatever, you know, custom alloy just for Apple.
And the point where it was weakest, they've actually... reinforced in current model iPhones as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's just a callback to last year.
Pretty much. All right, so biggest question here is who's getting this? Matt, I think let's start with you because the odds are saying yes.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm right. Getting... Which one?
The plus.
Plus?
Yeah. 16 gigs?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll probably get four of them.
That's the only way to be sure.
Yeah. That makes the most sense to me.
That's one way to do it.
Joe in the chat room says he's getting one as well. He's getting the 64 gigabyte success. And I am going to stick with my phone. It's tempted to upgrade, but I don't think I need to deal with 4K just yet. I have a hard enough time with HD, so let me graduate from that first.
Well, I actually probably am going to be getting, I know I've said it once before, but I will be at some point, probably the next few months, hopefully that soon, be getting a phone, and I think I will probably end up getting the 6, not the 6S. Haven't completely
baby
decided.
Steps. Baby steps.
Yeah, that's right. Well, but actually, one other interesting point that I recall from the keynote was their Apple's, available at all Apple stores starting up soon, is they're going to be doing their own phone replacement plan. For what was it, $32 a month? You can get a new phone.
Yeah.
Every year. I thought that was kind of interesting.
A lot of and it comes with Apple Plus, Apple Care Plus, which is something that everybody who has a wife should have. Let me tell my sad tale here. So, just the other day, hang on, let me play this. Here we go. So the other day, my wife drops her iPhone, and the screen cracks. I'm like, oh crap. Whatever, we'll just get it fixed.
2 times stronger glass in the new version.
Yeah, that couldn't have come sooner. So I brought it into the Apple store, and they said that they couldn't fix it because they saw some water corrosion inside because last year she dropped it in freaking water.
Oh.
Yeah. The phone works fine, but they were like, we can't fix it. You have to replace the entire phone for a whopping $300. I'm like, well,
they won't even fix it if you pay for it?
Nope.
Well, that seems a little harsh.
So I went to the kiosk right next to them and said, hey, yes, can you fix this? And they're like, yeah, that's fine. It has some water damage on the inside. They said, there's just hand it to me. I'll fix it for you. I was hesitant to get it fixed because the last time I got my iPad fixed when I cracked
that's
it.
That's right.
The display looked like hard crap. It wasn't Retina. It was Pac-Man pixelated. And they said, that's just the way it is. And
no, but, it's not.
Yeah. So this guy did a really good job. So I was happy. So
I thought you were just going to give her your phone and then
Oh, Joe, you're funny.
Yeah, but looks aren't everything.
I can just picture it now. She comes up to you. My phone, I dropped it. It's cracked. And you can just see the grin appearing on his face. Well, I guess we'll have to get a new one. You can take mine. I'll get the 6S.
I'm still paying off the phone. That didn't happen. Otherwise, that would have been a valid way to go about it.
Oh yeah, I won't be getting this one. Maybe a year from now, but yeah, I'm still kind of locked in, and I really have no need to upgrade. So it's
if you're at an iPhone 5 or an iPhone 5S, this is definitely a good upgrade. But anybody who's on the 6 can pretty much stay where you're at.
I don't need 4K video, and you know, I would love to see the images that come out of the 6S, but it's, you know, I can't justify the upgrade.
Here's a dumb question. I know it can record 4K video, but can you view it in 4K?
Yeah. They didn't say.
If you buy the new iPad.
The iPad Pro can view it in 4K.
Can the new iPad Pro record 4K? No, no.
Nope.
You need the iPhone
you
for that.
You need the new iPhone.
And that's how they get you.
That's how they get their bonus.
And that's how they make a bazillion dollars.
Yes. All right. Well, is there anything else that we want to talk about the iPhone or in the Apple announcement? Or are we there?
I think we're good.
All right. Do we want to do a post pick of the week?
No.
Okay.
I don't have one.
I got one. I stuck it in the chat.
Oh, there you go. I don't know. I think we announced everybody to death.
Yep. All right. Let's. We'll save the post pick of the week for next week, and we'll just use a generic Apple image.
But, dude, I mean, look, this is technically your show, so don't let me...
Yeah, don't want to push you around.
Well, in the past, we haven't done a post pick of the week for the Apple announcement, so we'll keep the tradition.
I have been having a great time listening to you and Matt do the show. Let me put that in there. You guys have done a tremendous job with your interviews, with your two man talks. It's just been good.
You're making me feel warm and fuzzy inside.
I hope so, because I'm going to start hitting on you in a second. No, you guys have been doing a great job, and I know the updates to Tiny Shutter TV have been pretty slow, but I really want that to compile a lot of stuff and then just put stuff out on the regular. I'm really hoping to. Do the same quality work as you guys are doing with the audio show. So I just want to throw you guys a great commendation, and you guys deserve a 5-star rating from iTunes.
Yes. Well, I'm looking forward to, you know, we've mentioned before that we're looking at getting other people to, you know, bring some content and help us to, make this show better. So I'm looking forward to seeing what the next 6 months are going to be like, because I'm having a lot of fun.
We have a lot of stuff in the pipeline. I can say that we're going to have a lot more stuff on the website. We have a lot of people that are willing to volunteer their time to you know, write some articles and share their experience. And I need to get the ball rolling on that one to get in touch with everybody. But that's coming in the pipeline. That's going to be totally rad. We have a lot of stuff coming as far as gear to review on Tiny Shutter. We're going to have it come out on the Tiny Shutter TV first, and then it'll follow up with a chat with it on the podcast, and finally the article to go along with that. So really cool stuff coming in the pipeline, and hope everybody enjoys it.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's go ahead and wrap things up. Why don't we go around and tell everybody where they can find you? Let's start with you, Maud.
You can find me on Instagram, Maudburn. Awesome. Or themeatloaf.net.
Mark, tell everybody where they can find you.
Well, you can find me doing Tiny Shutter TV. Subscribe to that on iTunes. I think it's youtube.com/tinyshutter. And again, yeah, you can find Maud Byrne and I doing the Meatloaf podcast, where it's just me, Maud, and Mike Siska just goofing off and just making up a ton of fake stuff all day long. We will...
Hey. Not fake.
Well, not on the show.
Wink!
Wrestling's real, too.
Wink! we basically... It is one... Like a half hour to an hour long of like just stuff we could totally make up. Like we will think of a topic and then we will just riff off of that. And we'll try to make it funny, but we're definitely just flying out the seat of our pants with that stuff. So it's a lot of fun.
That game you guys did, that was funny.
Oh my God. The contender.
That was a lot of fun to play.
That one, we have to do that one all together.
Yes.
And, like, I found a way that we could play that online.
Oh, really? That's awesome.
Yeah. It's going to take some finagling. I'm still working out the details, but hopefully next month we could play with that and see where we go.
Cool. Matt, tell everybody where they can find you.
Oh, you could check me out on Instagram, IM, and Twitter at mhoffmanphoto.
Awesome. And you can find me on Instagram at Joseph Ferreira. You can find the show notes and any of the stuff that we talk about previous episodes by going to tinyshudder.com. You will also find our Facebook group and other stuff, the YouTube channel. Go there. And if you guys have any questions or anything, join our Facebook group because we have a lot of great content, a lot of great questions. And you get to, interact with other enthusiasts who are showing off their great work. So join us there. I highly recommend it. So, all right, Mark, why don't you lead us out of here?
Oh, my God, I haven't done this in ages.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Yeah, I also have this one.
Please, not to throw away. I give you a happy poopy time.
Sorry, you know too much.
The Meatloaf, everybody. Find us on iTunes. Right on. This was a good show. Here we go.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, head over to iTunes and leave us a review and a 5-star rating. See you next week.